Hello and welcome.
Whoop.
Too loud.
Whoops.
No, it was the koi pond thing. It was just that was all.
Okay.
Start over.
Here we go.
Three.
Hey, idiot. Start over.
Sir. All right. Let's go.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly. For your business paper needs or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and co-managing director, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, founder of Woof.com.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I think we should get a townhouse in Soho.
So it's mostly lofts, but okay.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. After we cover today's main topic, we're going to have a little conference room with an email from a listener. We're going to do a little quarantine corner check-in with all of us. Some listener provided trivia.
In fact, that trivia, it will be provided by someone who writes office trivia for a trivia company in New York.
Oh, wow. Nice.
It's getting legit. But before we dive into today, which is all about Mr. Ryan Howard, just want to mention, of course, we have our Patreon is available to join. Scott's Tots, become a member, $5 a month. Get in there. We got monthly exclusive mailbag episodes where we get weird. We digress. We answer every question that comes to us. And
raw and uncut.
Raw, uncut. You know, it's the kind of stuff that even for the internet, it's a little extreme.
Yeah, just like Creed's blog.
Yeah. So anyway, just go head over there to patreon.com/MichaelScott and join Scott's Tots.
Yeah, get on board. Become a Scott's Tot, baby.
$5 a month. You get your own private podcast feed, too. It's pretty
cool.
Heck yeah. And I think, have you been putting up the videos, Sean?
Videos are coming up next week. We got videos.
We have the Zoom sessions of our recordings, so those will be going up.
Yeah, so there's going to be a big dump next week for our Patreon supporters. Thank you guys so much for your patience.
Big plop. Be always taking big dumps.
But I am so excited to dive into today's topic. Today, we are discussing Mr. Ryan Howard, a.k.a. the temp, the fire guy, kid, fired guy, big turkey, hired guy, Brian, bobcat, douchebag, Mr. Understood, rye guy, rye bread, rye from Woof, shoe bitch, the bell of the ball, Esteban the cleaning man, and Dundee Award winner for hottest in the office, Mr. Ryan Howard.
Wow, what a list.
That's man of many names.
That is one of the maybe the best list of AKAs. I don't know.
And deadbeat dad as well.
That's right. Very much a deadbeat.
The most deadbeat dad.
Yeah.
We've had a few people send us this one meme of Ryan where it says, when I first started watching The Office, I thought Ryan would be a normal character on the show or was the only normal one, something like that. How wrong I was. And beyond that, we had a couple people ask us just for another Ryan-centric episode. I think we did Ryan and Kelly pretty early on or earlier on in our episode run. And I think we're going to talk about just Ryan in this episode and kind of, he is a very interesting character in the ups and downs
and the way
the writers choose to deploy him throughout the course of the show.
No kidding. Yeah. And you know, and same goes for Kelly Kapoor. She'll get her own episode at some point too. But yeah, go back and check out that old one where we did Ryan and Kelly together. But yeah, today's just Ryan Howard played by BJ Novak. BJ was actually the first cast member on The American Office hired by Greg Daniels after he saw him perform at a comedy club. BJ actually, and then of course he became a writer on the show as well. And BJ actually went to high school with John Krasinski. I'm sure we've mentioned that before, but I've got a great quote from him. Sometimes when this feels too good to be true, I think that if this were all a dream, that would be what should have tipped me off. I'd wake up and say, I was in this incredible TV show and it was a big hit and the star was John Krasinski from high school. Isn't that weird?
That is funny.
Yeah, that's great.
That's got to be crazy for him. The character is kind of based on Ricky Howard, who's the temp from the British office, and also sort of on Neil Godwin, he's the co-managing director in the British office, and he's a lot like Josh Porter, but there's a little bit of him in Ryan Howard in the fourth season when he becomes. Takes over Jan's job. But Ryan, of course, is more a part of the main cast than Ricky or Neil ever were. And I always think it's interesting to think about BJ as kind of, you know, an executive producer or a co-executive producer and head writer, and the way that he just plays with his character so much. Because there's other people on the show like, you know, Mindy Kaling and Paul Lieberstein, and they certainly have a lot of fun with their characters. But the arcs for Ryan are so wild, his rise and fall, and we'll get into all that.
Yeah, it's interesting in the early season of the show, especially in season one, the main characters of the cast are focused on more so than the ensemble. And whenever I list the main characters in the first season, Ryan is almost like the letter Y in a list of vowels. So it's always Michael, Dwight, Jim, Pam, and to a lesser extent, Ryan.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
He's the sometimes Y of the main characters.
Yeah, he's always on the DVD covers. He's always on the show images. But like, yeah, he's never felt as part of the main cast as those other characters.
Right. And he's in the opening. He gets his own little title in the opening for so long. Mm-hmm. Even as he starts to kind of fall away, even in season three, we don't see as much of him. But yeah, I figured we'd go season by season through his arc. Does that sound good to you guys?
I think that's the right way to cut it up. I think that'll give us the most. Go ahead.
We can start with seasons one and two as kind of a group because there's not too much change there. Ryan is the temp in the very first episode. He's who Michael is really talking to besides the cameras. And therefore right away we're kind of looking at Ryan as a surrogate for the audience, just like, you know, Jim sort of is sometimes too, but it starts out this way. And I guess he's supposed to be the replacement for Tom Peets, who's the, you know, the employee who committed suicide, we learn in Performance Review.
That guy was weird.
People like Dwight always call him the temp for these early seasons. And of course we see Michael's obsession with him, his man crush, start to come out, especially in the Dundies when he wins hottest in the office.
I think it's interesting that, you know, you talk about Ryan as a audience surrogate and to an extent that is true. He is the person who, you know, he comes in almost in parallel with the audience in the pilot, and he says on the phone, there's a rumor that this place is going to shut down. Yeah, it's my first day here. And to all of us as viewers, it's our first day in the office as well.
Right.
So we do kind of join with Ryan coming right into the middle of the action. But then, yeah, he also gets deployed as a way for Michael, what it's like for Michael to have a friend or someone that he wants to be friends with or wants to have a relationship with in some sort of way. And the way that energy gets misapplied and it takes him to really uncomfortable places.
Yeah. And Michael always fancies himself somebody like worthy of an apprentice, or he wants he wants to be someone's mentor, and he sees that in Ryan. And of course, Ryan has no interest in really doing that. Ryan is, at all times, even from the beginning, he's interested in moving up the corporate ladder. And at least in those first seasons, I mean, that is his number one goal, is keeping his head down while he climbs the ladder, which he's able to do. And he's willing to put up with Michael's sexual harassment along the way.
I mean, in these early seasons, we're getting, you know, episodes like The Fire, where we kind of really learn that that Ryan's in business school and taking it seriously. And then, you know, plays along with, you know, Michael giving him all this advice and prank calling him as well and stuff like that. And of course, also that Ryan's sort of Michael's personal assistant in episodes like The Injury or gosh, even Hot Girl when he's forcing him to help him clean out the Sebring.
But the first cold open in the show in Office Olympics is Ryan getting Michael that breakfast sandwich.
That's right.
Like, the office is yours. Take your pants off. Run around a little bit.
I'm going to go take a nap in my car.
Yeah. And then Michael takes off the buns of the sandwich, so it's just egg and cheese.
Healthy.
Yep.
Yeah. Less carbs.
What's the place that doesn't have the yams? Right. He sends him to go get yams.
Mm-hmm. Three rotisserie chickens worth of dark meat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
Don't have yams, really, because they always have yams.
Of course, also in Fire, in the Fire...
sorry. That's where it is, since Strasbourg.
That's right. Strasbourg. Oh, that's gosh. But yeah, in The Fire, too, I think it's at the beginning that Ryan expresses that he doesn't want to be in the office very long. He doesn't want to be remembered. He doesn't want to have a nickname like the something guy. And then by the end of the episode, he's Fire Guy.
Fire Guy.
Fire Guy.
It is interesting.
Started the fire.
Joe McCarthy, Richard Nixon, Studebaker Television, North Korea, South Korea, Marilyn Monroe.
Ryan started the fire.
The way that Dwight holds up the cheesy pita in the tongs to the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. So he's so stoked on it. Because, of course, you know, he doesn't like to see Michael giving anyone else attention.
No.
And he's like giving Ryan noogies and... Yeah.
Yeah. Burp.
Yeah. There's a. It is interesting that you point out that Ryan's sort of professional ambition is the only real personality trait we kind of see from him for the most part. That and his relationship with Kelly are the only two sort of things we see in the first two seasons.
Yeah.
It does expand and change, of course, over the rest of the show. But early on, Ryan is he's not drawn very broadly. He's drawn as this one sort of way.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that we kind of get that there's hints that he's kind of a bit of a dick, you know, but like, you know, just like him deleting Michael's phone number from his phone or things like that. Some of the ways that he treats Kelly, but it's very subtle. We figure that he's just, you know, too smart for this place and kind of irritated with it.
Well, and when there are moments where Jim is kind of undermining the fact that they're at work, Ryan kind of plays along.
Right.
So when they're down in the warehouse and they're loading that truck, like, what are some conversation topics that we could talk about? And Jim says, like, flowers, and Ryan says puppies or something along those lines. So yeah. they play along with each other. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's in season three, too, that we've got Jim out of the – and we can kind of go into season three now. This is sort of as Ryan begins to change. His persona begins to change for the first time. But at the beginning of season three, Ryan becomes a full-time employee when Jim leaves, takes his desk. And we get that moment too at the start of season three where he's like, Pam sometimes looks at me and it makes me uncomfortable. And then he's like, it's nothing compared to the way Michael looks at me.
Oh my God. I love that scene.
That's so good.
The way Michael catches the camera looking at him and like kind of backs away from the shades. Oh God.
Peering at him through the blinds.
Yeah. It's so creepy. All the stuff Michael does when he's prank calling Ryan and I think the fight, you know, and he's
right,
this is Michael Jackson, like calling from Wonderland. And he's, you mean Neverland?
Yeah. I'm your girlfriend. And it's Mike Tyson. I'm mad.
Yeah.
Oh, the temp. Let us play with him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh my gosh.
Well, in the fire when he says, well, Michael says, well, I hate have sex with Ryan because he's in business school and he's gonna own a business one day and everyone is so uncomfortable.
Oh gosh, I know. Oh gosh. You were saying though that Ryan sometimes plays along and kind of making fun of the fact that they're at work, and he does join in when Pam is kind of, you know, making fun of it's after Ed Truck dies.
Grief counseling, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And Michael wants everyone to go around and share stories. And so Pam and Ryan share some movie stories. He's also the one who kind of like shakes his head when Kevin blows it.
Yeah. Oh, it would probably take like an hour and a half to tell that whole story.
Yeah. Right. But we also get Ryan kind of being, again, his arrogance or his feeling above everybody else is coming through even more in season three. With Jim coming back, he doesn't give up the desk to Jim and is, you know, a bit weird about it. Benihana Christmas, where he's kind of like showing off that he has like all these excuses, and he's like, come
on. I actually really like that moment. I think because he says, look alive, Halper, welcome back. It's a bit of camaraderie a little bit, where they both have to figure out how to make excuses to avoid hanging out with Michael.
I don't have the line in front of me, so I might need help, but it's like, Jim at some point is like, hey, want to help me play a prank on Dwight? And he's like, ask me when I was 12 or something.
So it's Andy. The episode is The Return. And it's Andy's cell phone. And Jim says to Ryan, do you want to help me play a prank on Andy? He says, no, but ask me 10 years ago.
Yeah. And then he said, but I love this moment, because he's like, I liked you better as the temp. And Ryan just goes, me too. which in a way is funny foreshadowing to me, mm-hmm. because it is this, this is what Ryan thinks he wants. He wants to, go up in the ranks and, become, a corporate businessman. But of course we see that, he's not ready for it.
It's funny too. That reminds me of a moment in season two. I don't know the exact episode, but it's the episode where Jim is looking to go on a trip. It's probably Dwight's speech, because they're talking about public speaking. And Jim gets up and talks about going on a trip. And Ryan says, so you're really going, huh? And Jim says, yeah. He says, send me a postcard. Then Ryan says, Jim has worked in the same job for 5 years. He's the same ham and cheese sandwich every day. If I were a betting man, I'd say Jim has a fun weekend in Philly, which is interesting because you contrast their ambition. Well, Ryan does seem to want to go somewhere, and Jim is portrayed in these early seasons as someone who has a lot of ability, but maybe not the same ambition to go alongside it.
Maybe Ryan's one of the first people to point that out to us. Mm-hmm.
And Ryan is also used as like, he doesn't have any real world experience, and he doesn't think he needs any for the most part, right? And we see this happen even in like the initiation. Like, there's these moments when Dwight actually starts teaching him about sales, and Ryan kind of straightens up and he kind of starts to pay attention, and he stops not taking things seriously. It happens a few times, and again, this is all before he becomes the actual boss. But he actually does have moments where he's learning, and he actually sees the value in some of his coworkers. They're few and far between, but it does keep his character grounded in his ambitions, which is to climb his corporate ladder. And occasionally, it sort of resets Ryan sometimes of like, oh, and that's what the fire does. That's what the initiation does. When he has Stanley's clients, there's sort of these times when he's taking two steps forward. He's taking two steps forward and one step back. And that happens often with Ryan. And then he takes this huge leap forward, and then he's in no man's land.
Right.
They all make fun of him for never making a sale, but no one ever coaches him really.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Besides Dwight or maybe Stanley a little bit, or barely. But we also get in this season when Ryan takes Michael to business school. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's not in season two, right? That's in three.
Season three.
Yeah. So this is where we get. This is just another moment, I think, at the end, at least, even after Michael had this, train wreck of a presentation.
By the way, speaking of characters only in one episode, shout out to the guy that Michael takes the textbook from and starts ripping out pages. Yeah.
The face that he makes. Mm-hmm. It's funny because... it's a moment where, like, Ryan at the end actually is like, oh, crap. Like, I messed this up. Like, he always thinks he's one step ahead. He always, like, seems to think, he basically gives this whole presentation about how Dunder Mifflin's a failing paper company before he has Michael come in and speak to them. And Michael kind of puts him in his place successfully at the end of this episode and tells him that a good manager doesn't fire people. He hires people and inspires people. He moves Ryan to the annex with Kelly, which again works as a brilliant plan to punish Toby as well.
It's interesting that what Ryan says is that the company is quickly falling behind and that their business model is becoming obsolete. Yeah. It is interesting if you think that's probably what he pitched to David Wallace in his job interview. Mm. And it dovetails with his emphasis on technology in season four when he does become the corporate leader. And it's funny at the beginning of that episode of Business Trip where he says you get bumped up by a full letter grade if you bring in your boss. So I'd be crazy not to do it. Right. Mm-hmm. There's an element of it's like the cost and the risk reward analysis where and like, what is the reward? And I will say that watching that episode live when it aired for the first time was one of the hardest times I laughed watching The Office. Like the way that Michael is presenting in front of the school and the way he lists the threats to America. Ryan has never made a sale. And everyone thinks he's a tease.
Yeah, it's like only Michael thinks he's a tease.
I know.
You sit up here in your ivory tower, in your ebony tower.
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh. Well, at the end of season three, of course, we got all these people fighting for this corporate job. We don't even know that Ryan's in the running for this job. So this is this great reveal in the finale of season three, when we've got David Wallace on the phone saying, like, you know, really excited to have you here. You know, it's going to be great to have another MBA around. So it's like, oh, who is it? And then we get Ryan saying, thank you very much. Hangs up the phone, tells Kelly, we're done.
What?
And again, we did kind of skip past the Ryan and Kelly stuff today, but we did that in another episode. So go check it out.
Yeah, and then looks right in the camera.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's one of the better, like, just points to end a whole season on. Mm-hmm. And a great cliffhanger for four. Moving on. Season four. Yeah. Ryan's introduction in season four, he walks in and Pam says, hey, Ryan. And he's like, one sec. And then just types on his BlackBerry for a while. He's got a beard now. He's dressed in black as much as possible. So, like, BJ Novak was kind of like, this was all intentional. He's supposed to be as douchey looking as possible. So the beard and all black, which is really my style. And I was a bit offended by that, to hear that from BJ Novak.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
See Ryan, like, pulling up in the sports car and, like, you know, he's like, checking himself out in the mirror, and
My favorite branch doing?
He's very cognizant of the fact that almost no one in that building respects him, and that he has to come in and lay down the hammer immediately and mean, like, look, I know I used to, and he says it, it's like, I know I used to temp here. Things have changed. I'm the boss now, and he still, even after he says that, it's almost like everyone's like, aw, like, look at little Ryan. And he knows that, and it really, really bothers him.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, like, Kevin jumps on him and, like, gives him the Nike, and he's like, stop that. It's inappropriate, and it stops right now. You know, I'm your boss. You all need to treat me the way you would have treated Jan. And Stanley, I feel like, gives a kind of a reaction, like, oh, shit, like, you know, the temp has grown up.
Stanley loves a good flex. He always respects anytime someone does that.
But then Michael comes in and undercuts it immediately, like, ooh, I don't really swing that way, Ryan. Like, he immediately undercuts all of that. And he even talks about, he's like, look, he's all grown up now. And then Kevin calls him little old man boy.
Yeah.
Little old man boy. That should have been another AKA.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. In the beginning of this, maybe I'll just speak from, like, personal experience. I think, like, watching this for the first time, I was buying that Ryan's really got this together. He knows how a corporate executive should act and should dress and should speak to his employees and things like that. So he's doing pretty well for a while and really, like, you know, placing his, you know, showing them that, you know, that he has power over Michael and things like that, and seems to have some good plan for how to move the company forward into the 21st century. Did you guys feel that way when you were watching it the first time?
Yeah. He seems to have, at the very least, he seems to know what he wants to do. He comes in and pretty clearly wants to get the respect of the Scranton branch. He even says to Michael flat out, I know exactly how much time and manpower is wasted here. He gives Jim a formal warning about his job performance. And he tries to get everyone to use Blackberries and to move forward in technology. Of course, that all falls apart because the website has all these errors and issues. And he doesn't really know. It doesn't seem like he has much of a plan outside of that or a real plan to actually make the website successful. Everything is built on this. And he goes so far as to defraud the company.
Right.
To try to keep that alive.
It's like it's almost like his priority was to weaponize everything he knew about that branch to take down Jim and like show everyone that they're all just full of it. And in a way and the whole thing with Daryl and Kelly and his thing of like flexing his power about using the website and like it just all feels very petty. Everything Ryan does, almost the whole show feels very petty. And
totally.
It seems like his entire season 4 arc is sort of this peacocking that he's doing to impress, I guess, a few people at corporate. And that's about it.
Yeah. David Wallace. Yeah.
And it's funny, too, that you think Ryan in the first few seasons is so kind of understated. He doesn't speak up very much.
Right.
And it's hilarious to see this different side of his personality now that he has a bit more power and authority that all of a sudden he's showing off. And all of a sudden he's trying to show how cool he is, talking about getting sandwiches late at night in New York.
Right.
And it is very funny to see that sort of reversal.
I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like for me, as I get older into the ages where people are in the show, I remember being younger and all that stuff working on me with Ryan. Like in season 4, I remember thinking like, oh, wow, Ryan's really like rich New York guy now. And as I get older and as I've started to meet people who are like Ryan in real life and you realize like, well, they don't know what they're doing either. Like they're just,
right.
It's all a show in a lot of ways. And then when you finally see Ryan's like apartment, which is this tiny studio in New York,
right,
and you
right.
realize, oh, everything Ryan is projecting is pretty fake. And they start to show that with, he's giving an interview in, you know, the
somebody
office
else's office.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And he's like, you got to do these things in your own office. And he has that look of that he's still clearly low on the ladder that he wants to be on the top of.
Mm-hmm. It's really great how they reveal it slowly over the course of the arc that this is not all it seems to be. It's really a facade that Ryan is putting up. And like I noticed going back and rewatching too, that his look becomes more disheveled. Like he starts to unbutton the collar more and just kind of looks a little bit more like he just woke up. Alex, are you reading a book?
I'm flipping through
the Andy Green book.
The Andy Green book.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, in the back they have a. Like, you can look at the index and it shows like all the topics that BJ Novak has talked about.
Nice.
And so I was just reading through some stuff. So yeah, if I've been disengaged, exactly why.
It reminds me a lot of In Company Picnic when Dwight is coaching up the volleyball team and he says, Phyllis, why are you sitting on the ground?
but I think that they do a really great job of revealing that, you know, Dunder Mifflin Infinity seems like this really well thought out thing. He's got this great presentation. He's got all the buzzwords and all this stuff, but it's revealed slowly that Dunder Mifflin Infinity isn't a good idea. He wants young people to be chatting in the online store about the election. And it's right in line with the whole, like, you know, that he's having drug problems right now. He's going out to the club and doing cocaine and like staying up all night and all this stuff. So it's like, and he's just scrambling to impress people. He thinks that people have a high expectation of him, the Wunderkind thing. And then of course, you know, that he's asking, you know, salespeople to enter their sales on the website, and we learn later that this is actually reporting double the sales, which is lying to the
misleading the investors. As fraud.
right.
You know, it's funny that if you think about, Ryan has this vision for how the company is supposed to adapt and move to this more digital age, and he doesn't really know how to do it. It's funny to think that, because as Stanley says, you know, when my clients call me to ask for help about how to use the website, like I don't get commission on that. So there is the actual adapting of their old business model to this new business model really falls apart. And Ryan doesn't seem to have any sort of idea about how to fix that. His ideas are all around social media and things like that. And it's funny when you think about a boss who has a vision but no idea of how to execute. It sounds a lot like Michael.
Oh my gosh, it's so true. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's great. It's just a great parable too. I mean, these people exist in real life. I certainly worked with people like this, and I'm sure you guys have too, that it's like they don't, you know, while he seems to, you know, portray himself as this businessman, he's really only interested in playing the game, rising to power. He just cares about his own image and how people perceive him. And it's not that he thinks, you know, it's not that he has come up with a brilliant business plan or any of these things. It's just that he just wants the position.
Yeah. He's very self-serving and he'll do anything to justify his own job, and including making other people's lives very difficult.
And you see his drug problem is almost an extension of his vanity.
Right.
Which is to say, like, living this fast-paced New York lifestyle that he wants to kind of keep up with. And it really tears him apart, you know. We can look at that as probably a contributing factor to his fall as well. It's underexplored in the show, but yeah.
It's so funny too that his whole persona of like the New York socialite, really at the end of the day, like, he really only impresses Andy and Kevin. You know, with that scene in the kitchen, and they're like, Ryan is so cool. And that's about it. And but
Michael and Dwight a little bit.
Michael and Dwight a little bit.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, Michael.
Yeah, that's true.
Of course, but Michael. Yeah. He was impressing Michael as a temp.
That's true.
His looks. But yeah, it's such a thin facade, and it comes crashing down in a very satisfying way. And we get to see what YouTube used to look like when he finally does, when he finally does fall.
That's right. That's right.
Do you ever think in Night Out, Andy doesn't go to he doesn't go to New York with them? But I wish he did. How would that night have changed if Andy was there? Andy, the Cornell grad, the guy who seems to have this sort of socialite experience from his upbringing. I wonder how he would. And Andy's still a bit more of a live wire in this part of the show. Mm-hmm. I wonder how he would have reacted in that event or that scene.
Yeah,
would he have recognized that Ryan was just very high on cocaine, mm-hmm. or not?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, he'd be like, Ryan really reminds me of this guy Chad from my fraternity at Cornell.
Yeah, oh, it would have been one of the
best
because they were both in frats. Like that's a thing that Andy and Ryan have in common for sure.
Was Andy in a frat?
I believe so.
He just talks about being so lonely so often. I mean, how he would drink SoCo by himself and all that.
That's true. At frat parties, yeah. Right. Straight B's, they called me Buzz.
Yeah. And he had to sleep in the front lawn. I don't know.
Boot, it's, rally. It's, yeah, maybe he... Maybe
never really clear, fridges. Yeah.
True. But how about the scene, though, when he does... When Dwight and Michael do show up and how excited Ryan is to see them.
Right.
It's Michael and Dwight. It's you guys.
It's clear that he's talked about them to his friends in New York, and he's like, "Oh my God, they're here! I can show my friends these people I've been talking about."
Well, there's something to like, just like the way that Jim doesn't really have the motivation to try harder. It's like Jim enjoys his little realm, his little pond. You know what I mean? And it's possible that Ryan's getting up to New York and people are like, we all went to business school. That's not impressive or special. Mm-hmm. And he's starting to realize, he's starting to miss Scranton, where people loved him and just thought he was so cool. And like, even though they were dumb, like...
Well, he thought he was so cool, you know? And because we do know that Ryan grew up in Scranton and like, he's from there.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably thought he was a lot smarter than everyone else from Scranton. And you're right. Like, you get to New York and everyone's career obsessed and everyone is looking out for themselves and everyone's trying to just better and get to a better spot in whatever work they're doing. Mm-hmm. And so, he immediately becomes a small fish again.
Yeah.
And doesn't handle it well.
Yeah, and cracks under the pressure, bites off more than he can chew, gets arrested for fraud.
Hey, everyone, it's the temp.
Yeah.
I love Michael just being, like, so upset, and he's just like, I'm just worried about my friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's true, yeah.
So
yeah.
Sad. It actually makes me sad. Yeah, yeah.
I also love in Launch Party, that's like Ryan's big party to kind of celebrate himself and his vision and his new development. Mm-hmm. And he's now from my hometown, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Michael Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Hey, one of my salesmen beat your computer, asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Hey, Michael, first of all, thanks for the shout out.
Yeah. Hey, how about that picture?
Yeah. Crystal clear.
Yeah. And then at the end, that little sign off with the wink that he gives.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Ryan's the worst. He's awful.
Well, let's move to season five.
Let's move to season five. We start season five where Ryan is the temp again. This is like he's also mentioning that he's doing community service, which is court ordered. but yeah, I mean, it's like he just goes back to the same temp agency and Michael like tracks him down. You get a feeling too, or there's a hint too that like, yeah, Michael helped Ryan move. So they've kind of been spending all this time together because that's when he sees Ryan's goatee. we get Ryan as temp again. And he's sick.
Ronnie was bleh. Things were an all time sad here. But then I got an email from Ryan that he was coming back to town. I called the temp agency and I told him, I will pay you any amount. Just give me Ryan Howard. Give him to me. I want him. I need him.
If you are wondering how Ryan was able to come back so quickly without any sort of acknowledgement from David Wallace, you should know that there is a deleted scene wherein Ryan is acting as receptionist and he gets a call from David to direct to Michael, and David just goes into him. He rips him apart, and Ryan starts to cry.
Really?
And he says he just made the list.
Oh my god. Yeah.
And David goes into him. Yeah. And and then later there's a scene where he's on the phone with Michael and he says, "Look, Michael, if you really really want to vouch for this punk, you know, you can do it, but if he so much as sniffs white out, it's on you." And Michael says, "Wait a minute. Why is this on me?"
Oh my god!
Yeah, so
wait, that's a great line. Oh my gosh, that's
they kind of paced over that with just like, give me Ryan Howard at any cost.
Yeah,
but yeah,
it's so insane that he gets hired back twice after defrauding the company. Mm-hmm. Once now, and then again after the Michael Scott
after the Michael
company
Scott
arc. It's just crazy. You'd think like after season four, it's like, I wonder if there was a conversation about writing Ryan out of the show because he doesn't need to come back. He could be gone. Mm-hmm. You know, after season four,
I get the feeling that, you know, this is not something that I've seen in an interview or anything, or maybe that he would ever admit, but I got the feeling that BJ Novak liked running the show or writing or directing or, you know, co-executive producing more than he liked being in it. And I feel like that's sort of like, as the show goes on, he becomes just more of like a peripheral character. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was a, you know, he just didn't want to put, and especially them moving him to the annex. Some people have, like, maybe we've said this before on the show, like maybe that was an idea for him to not have to be in the bullpen all the time. Right. Mm-hmm. 'Cause all those actors have to sit in the bullpen all the time. And it's like, who do you have in the annex? Paul Lieberstein, Mindy Kaling, and BJ
Novak. Writers. Huh, that's interesting. I think too, I mean, we're making big assumptions here, but I think you can look at what he's done after The Office. He hasn't appeared on screen very much. He's been a writer and an author. And I think that, you know, if we're just making assumptions, maybe the creation process or the writing process appealed to him more than physically appearing on screen or being an actor on screen.
Mm-hmm. And when he is on screen, he's killing Nazis with Brad Pitt.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. Yeah. That is very true. That's true.
That's really one of his few other notable roles, I feel like.
Yeah. I think the other thing, too, is once Ryan kind of goes through that up and down of like realizing his ambition, going to corporate, and then having it all come crashing down, there's a lot less for his character to do. Even yes. though he has ambition, even if he does, there's no place for it to go within Dunder Mifflin. Is he going to get promoted to a branch manager? If he stays in the office, it only makes sense as somebody who has no doesn't really care that much anymore and is focused on other things versus, you know, business and rising up right. within the business world.
And that's pretty much where he settles for the second half of the show is this almost this Mr. Potato Head character where they dress him up in different clothes. They have him just doing different things. And he sort of he does sort of represent the like, yeah, this ineffectual millennial character who doesn't know what he wants to do, but thinks he deserves more than he has.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's and so, you know, back to season five, it's like he seems very lost at the top of season five. The only thing he can really go for is a new relationship with Kelly Kapoor. It seems to be his new goal. He always has something that he's working on, Ryan. As soon as he wins Kelly back, and it's so easy, wins Kelly back from Daryl, it's so easy, it just washes over his face. You can see it, and he's just like, shortly thereafter, he's like, I'm going to Thailand. If you, like, we should have sex one more time, and if you have any extra cash, that would be great.
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing.
The worst.
High school. Well, high school.
Yeah. But it's like, I guess you could argue that, like, you know, this is Ryan realizing that he's, you know, lost his way and needs to, like, get out of here and do something else. Of course, we learn that he only goes to, is it Fort Lauderdale?
Yes.
and then gets the job at the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm. Going to Thailand with some friends from high school. Well, a high school.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, we get the Michael Scott Paper Company arc. I think that's really great to see Michael or see Ryan in this.
Blonde Ryan. A lot of memes of like Michael has a type and it shows all the women Michael dated. And then it's Ryan with the blonde hair and the blonde.
Scott's thoughts.
Yeah.
Scott's thoughts. Oh my God. yeah, I mean, like, and two, you just kind of get this feeling now that like Ryan's really okay with Michael's obsession over him and just
kind of
manipulates
it.
Him and takes advantage of it. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
He's like, I need Michael to be obsessed with me. It gives me a little, it just gives me, at least I know someone cares about me.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, he goes from wanting to realize this ambition to just like being okay with the fact that he can kind of get away with whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And just settles into that. Yeah.
Yeah. Lead me when I'm in the mood to be led.
To be led. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Kind of the last gasp of Ryan's corporate experience or his MBA happens at the Michael Scott Paper Company when he builds their pricing model and he refuses to make copies. Right. And he's consistently sort of verbally jabbing at Pam.
Yeah,
there's something really funny there. And Ryan is sort of this overconfident, arrogant figure really happens there in that supply closet.
In a lot of ways, you know, we talk about Ryan as an audience surrogate at times, but really Ryan and Pam's relationship, I think Pam becomes the audience surrogate for how much we hate Ryan, because mm-hmm. Pam just has a lot of great moments of just being like, ugh, like Ryan, you're the worst.
Ryan.
Yeah. And The whole Michael Scott Paper Company arc is such a unique little thing because there's moments where they're actually like all getting along and having fun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't last that long, but it's so funny to see Pam and Ryan sort of having fun throwing the cheese balls and looking back on their memories together. And
they become a little family unit of dad and brother and sister, oddly enough. But
it's very easy to forget that that Ryan takes a run at Pam during his corporate time.
Totally. Yeah. I guess he can't get any girl he wants.
Well, and then he's on the phone and he says, yeah, she's like she'd be a New York 6, but she's a 7 here.
She's
and like they can
seven,
all
yeah.
very clearly, yeah, Scranton 7. They can all very clearly hear their phone calls. He's like, please don't listen to my personal calls.
Yeah, right.
And then
I was just saying, Ryan Lowkey makes a run at every single woman in the office except for Phyllis and Angela.
Yep. Like Karen Filippelli, Katie,
Aaron. At the hotel when they want waffles. Yep.
Well, and at the reception desk too at the end of season 6.
Right.
He just takes what he wants.
Yeah. How you do it, man? You really have to not care what people think about you.
Yeah. Right.
You'll learn, baby. You'll learn.
Oh my gosh. Well, near the end of season 5, of course, after the Michael Scott Paper Company, after they're hired back, you know, David Wallace is absolutely not, you know, you can't have them both be salesmen, and I don't want Ryan to be a salesman. So Michael makes a decision on his own to make Pam a salesperson and make Ryan a temp again.
Once again.
Yeah. And we get that part in Cafe Disco when, you know, Michael wants to have lunch with everybody, and Ryan reveals that now that he is temp again, the only thing he can control is food, and he only eats 5 small meals a day.
Yeah, ever since I got clean, there's something about morning air that just really makes me sick.
I love that.
I feel like from that point on, when he mentions the 5 meals a day, when Ryan is injected into the show, he's commenting on some kind of trend of the current day.
Yes.
So for these years that the show is actually airing, a lot of what Ryan is talking about has to do with the present day trends of some kind.
It's more topical for sure.
Yeah, and that becomes his primary role, it feels like, for these last 3 seasons.
Well, it's perfect that you bring that up, because that brings us into season 6, where this is where Ryan's new look as like the hipster. He's got the glasses, fun bow ties, suspenders, scarves, flannel.
Tries out the fedora.
Right, for sure. Yeah, you're so cool. I mean, his what's great about season 6, the best part for me is just that the dysfunctional relationship with Kelly has just been completely normalized by this point. Like, it's just everybody's okay with it, nobody comments on it, and it's sort of just, again, peripheral humor.
In Koi Pond, when they're talking about things that we can't make fun of, Ryan says, "I'm in this weird nebulous sort of thing." And he's just put Kelly. She goes, "Aw."
Oh my gosh. And we do get, of course, we just talked about Jim as co-manager, but we do get in this season, Ryan defying Jim and then becomes Closet Ryan after that.
Yeah.
A long simmering feud with Jim boils over here, and this is the first time when Jim has at least corporate power over Ryan for the first time in a real way, and he absolutely takes advantage of that and deals with Ryan in a pretty good way.
True, and it is funny too that Jim struggles with it at first. He doesn't know how to punish Ryan, or doesn't want to, or something. There's something about it that
he doesn't know if he can really fire him. Can you yell at him? Can you make an example of him? Pam says you don't yell. Well, that was apple picking day. The perfect end to a perfect day.
I feel like it highlights something about you know, the difference between Jim and Ryan. You know, Ryan didn't have any problem putting Jim down when he was above Jim. But maybe there's something about Jim that it's always seen a little bit of himself in Ryan. I don't know. It's interesting. It's always been interesting to me that it's so easy for Ryan to defy Jim, but Jim can't really take control over Ryan.
Well, I mean, Michael is there to kind of check that a little bit.
True.
I think, too, Ryan joining up with Dwight to try to take down Jim is a funny little turn.
A good one, too.
I love the scene they have with Nick when they're trying to get Jim's password, and they're just like, "We can make things very difficult for you." And he's like, Are you threatening me? And then Ryan tries to crush the can. He can't do it.
That pairing of Ryan and Dwight is so funny, where Ryan comes to the dumpster. He says, "You're 10 minutes late." He says, "Oh, I lost track." He says, "Oh, I was doing something else." He says, or I was by a different dumpster, some sort of excuse.
Yeah.
And Dwight says, just admit that you lost track of time. They're back and forth, and like they're talking about like beet vodka.
And Ryan seesaw. Says,
I'm not interested in anything. I have to make myself. There's just a lot of funny little exchanges that they have.
Yeah. They don't make a good team.
Why don't you leave the Tolkien references to me, okay?
Okay, dumb jock.
Right, yeah.
Isn't that what he said? I don't know. Yeah. Cool jock, something like that. I don't know. But season 6, he is kind of more in the background. I don't know if we just want to go into season 7. We got woof.com.
There's one moment from season 6 that I found in prep that I wanted to highlight, which is just during the promotion where they're talking about giving out raises.
Yeah.
Kelly walks in and they talk, "Hey, Kelly, Jim doesn't want to give you a raise." He goes, "What, Jim? That's not fair. How is that going to fix Ryan's car?"
Oh my gosh. There's it's not clear if she crashed it or he crashed it.
There's so much dark stuff going on with like Ryan and Kelly. The amount of abuse that's happening is really uncomfortable.
I mean, I think it's in 6 too when, you know, we get the Donna arc and, you know, just Ryan and Kelly nonchalantly being like, this sounds like all the things that Ryan did when he was cheating on me.
Yeah, when Ryan had two girlfriends, he used to take me to this diner in Hazleton. Just any diner. It was the Starlight Diner.
Yeah.
It spread about Americana.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, moving into season 7, finally Ryan has a new ambition, wolf.com, which you know, seems like maybe it's a real idea, but it kind of turns out more to be just another way for Ryan to appear like it be an impressive business person. I mean, he kind of, now it seems like he wants to be sort of more of like a Mark Zuckerberg or something like that.
He's very obsessed with these tech guys. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But
you know, he's already set the precedent that he's essentially a scammer. I mean, he scams mm-hmm. Pam out of $50 for her own wedding gift, you know, mm-hmm. like he's shown by this point, he's just completely soulless. And, yeah, and the wolf thing is, yeah, I think it's also representative of the times of the tech boom and the Silicon Valley being regarded as this sacred land where, mm-hmm. you know, people get super rich. And obviously Ryan would want to be a part of that, but he's still just a temp in Scranton.
They even parody those old Apple commercials with mm-hmm. Justin Long and John Hodgman.
Yeah.
A Mac and I'm a PC. That might be lost on some of our younger viewers who maybe didn't see those commercials, you know.
Big time.
That's right.
Yeah. But that, yeah. I just sent you a Facebook message. Yeah. It's funny the way they put that. Yeah. Ryan's got the suspenders and the glasses.
Yeah.
It's all about the experience. We're at spring break, Daytona Beach. 50,000 condoms drained from the helicopter.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's like we see that Ryan's got all these other things keeping Michael on the line, right? Like, you know, they're going to have like their like executive ski trip or something like
they're
that.
They're planning out. Yeah.
Figured I'd start on the Bunny Hill and work my way up to Black Diamond Run.
It's very clear too that Ryan maybe has no intention of ever doing those things. But there is something just weird about their relationship now, like the way that Ryan's just got Michael on the hook the whole time. Mm-hmm. It actually thinking about this storyline made me just have the thought too, did Ryan grow up without a dad? He's very much like a mama's, like he talks about his mom a lot. He talks about his mom making pesto and he needs his mom when he's in Tallahassee.
You might be
later.
Right. I don't think we have any evidence that he has a dad. We have no evidence that he doesn't.
Right. Yeah, that's what I would say is we just don't know.
Right. I mean, I just, you know, Michael's in a similar situation where he grew up sort of just with a stepdad that he hated. And there's a bond happening between them at this point. I mean, I know they've been through a lot. They've been through the Michael Scott Paper Company. They've been through, you know, I mean, Michael helped him get off drugs. Apparently we didn't really see that.
You helped me get off drugs.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so I don't know. I was like, maybe there's even something deeper here that's kind of connects these two characters. And, you know, that maybe Ryan needs Michael just as much as Michael needs Ryan is really all.
The end of Wolf.com is really odd. It's an odd and weirdly touching scene because after all this history we've had with Ryan and Michael, basically everyone assaults Ryan and Michael with some logic of just like, you have an opportunity to get our money back. You have to sell this now. This is a terrible idea. Ryan is a terrible person. He's a terrible businessman. Michael, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And Michael doubles down again. It says, I do not agree to sell, which is to say nay.
I do.
And he's like,
not.
Yeah. And Stanley
What's
says, Michael,
you? What?
Yeah, Michael, ahead, are you blind? And he says, I'm not blind. I know exactly who he is. He is selfish and lazy and image obsessed, and he is a bad friend. Everyone is like shocked by like, oh, well, yeah, like that's true. And he's also clever and he shoots incredibly high and he may just make it. But you know what? Even if he doesn't, I would rather go broke betting on my people than get rich all by myself on some island like a castaway. And there is no middle ground. Which is like so different from early Michael, who's like always pictures himself as just rich, you know, on a yacht somewhere. Mm-hmm. And Michael has matured by this point to the fact that he's defending Ryan in a very, even if it's a reckless, foolish way, it comes from a place of being genuine.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sweet almost.
Go ahead.
I was just to wrap up, and then it's great that we finally see Woof fully engaged at the end of the episode when he sells and everything comes at once and he's like, hell of a ride, bro.
The end of this episode contains one of my favorite quotes from Michael, and it partially touches on Ryan, but it touches on so many of the other characters as well. And right before that moment you said where the Woof comes in, he says, Michael says, the world sends people your way. Ryan came to me through a temp agency. Andy was transferred here. No idea where Creed came from. The point is, you just have to play with the cards that you're dealt. Jim, that guy is an ace. Dwight is my king of my sleeve. Phyllis is my old maid. Oscar is my queen. That's easy. Give me a hard one. That's what Oscar said. Toby is the instruction card you throw away. Pam's a solid 7. And yeah, you know what? Ryan is probably like a 2, but sometimes 2s can be wild, so watch out. And I am obviously the Joker. And then it comes in that Ryan has decided to sell. And Michael says, oh, thank God.
Decided to sell company. Thanks, bro. Hell of a ride.
Oh gosh. Well, look, at the end of season 7, we do get we get some other funny moments with Ryan during this, you know, him offering up his closet as a place for Jim and Pam to have sex. It's just a particularly dark moment for him. Mm-hmm. But you know, he does sing in the Goodbye Michael song, "You Help Me Get Off Drugs," which again, maybe that's hinted at when they go visit him in New York, just the way that, you know, they talk, their conversation at the end of the night. It's another nod to just how close they are, even off screen or even out of the office.
But Dwight also, the season later, leaves time for Ryan to do his morning ecstasy in Florida. So maybe he's not totally off drugs.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Or maybe when Michael leaves, like, that's Ryan's support group is just completely gone, and so he starts doing drugs again.
I could totally see that as like a Dwight being like, you need to be awake at 6 a.m. And he's like, no, I have things I got to do in the morning. Like, what? Drugs? Ecstasy? Yeah, I need to take my morning ecstasy.
Well, that happens in Woof.com, where Michael says, or Ryan says, that's part of the reason I came in today. And Michael says, don't you work here full time? And Ryan just laughs.
Yeah, right.
Or when Michael and Ryan and Pam are going back and forth, that's how, you know, everybody wants this to happen, but nobody wants to put in the work. And Pam says, you came in at 10:30 today, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's also like when she's like, you know, you could just clean up the microwave. And he's like, honestly, I would just find a way to make it worse.
Moving into season 8.
Before we go into season 8, one thing that I had forgotten about that was tacked on at the end of season 7 that was really funny to kind of go back and watch again was when D'Angelo is manager, Ryan has to kind of justify why he's there at all. And he heavily implies to D'Angelo that he's Kelly's boss. And
yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
It's really mean the way that he treats Kelly, but it's really funny. It was really funny to go back and watch where she's just like, yes, Mr. Howard.
And then
finally she tells D'Angelo, he says, I don't really know. He says, you seem kind of hysterical to me. You're supervisor. Let's just keep it that way. Or she says, he's just like Rango in Rango.
Yeah.
And D'Angelo says, is that true? And Ryan says, I never saw Rango.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just a very funny little another chapter in the dysfunction that is Ryan and Kelly.
D'Angelo is a horrible manager. Well,
Annie Shelto.
Annie Shelto. Feel that? All right.
You know what? A high five? Now's the time.
Not while I'm driving.
Let's go to season 8.
Season 8, again, Ryan's really just kind of this peripheral character. He just jumps in with these little comments when we're in the bullpen, or maybe someone goes to visit him and Kelly in the back. But he's also one of Robert California's losers in the beginning of this season.
Does it make anyone feel better that I'm on this side of the list? Mm-hmm. Oh, this crust is sharp.
So Pam goes, oh God. I think really when Ryan shines during this season is when they go to Tallahassee. He is one of the few who go to Tallahassee. He tries to get make sure that either he or Kelly go to Tallahassee, but not together. to one or the other, preferably him. But yeah. In Tallahassee, like, it's kind of normal Ryan for a little bit. Like, it's you almost get a taste of the old temp Ryan, the way that Nelly's kind of playing with him right off the bat.
You sad, simple boy. Yeah.
Yeah, he the whole arc is basically giving Ryan yet another opportunity to walk the walk, and to sort of back up the sort of gusto that he's always expressing about himself. Mm-hmm. That again, he folds when it comes time for the showdown, and that's just, we see that time and again from Ryan. That's mm-hmm. just the recurring thing that he does. Mm-hmm. Is just mm-hmm. letting himself and others down constantly.
Yeah, I mean, we get him trying to go after Aaron. That great scene in the when they sneak into the kitchen, and he
6 months. Huh, I'm in love with Kelly.
Yeah.
I've talked about this before, but watching that scene live. I have such a visceral reaction of just like hissing at Ryan, like, you get away from Aaron, you get away, like,
just like,
don't
Pam.
You dare go near her. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like it reminds me of in season 9 when Jim is talking to Toby about couples counseling or marriage mm-hmm. counseling, and Clark comes in and Toby is, no, Clark, out, get out, get out.
We also get Ryan as the presenter when they open the Saber store, which it is funny for so many reasons. Dwight is totally invested in Ryan being the presenter and giving him everything he wants and
as
needs.
As Chuck, yeah.
As, that's right.
Yeah, and a lot of their budget must have been to get the rights to play that Coldplay song.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but again, we get Ryan cracking under pressure. This is something that now we know about him. He likes people to believe that he's this wonder kid. He likes people to believe that he knows more than they do about getting in touch with youth and all these other things. But of course, he's a con man, and he can't go through with this thing. And again, him saying that he needs his mom, or that he needs Kelly, who he's always acted like he doesn't need,
or a green or yellow sports drink, not red.
Yeah.
It reminds me of in the seminar in season 7, Andy's trying to get Ryan to speak at the seminar, and he's, okay, I'll do it, and if I flake, I flake. And then when Ryan is initially brought in, Kelly comes right over the top and says, but the greatest thing about him is his relationship with me. Kelly Kapoor, the business.
The business bitch.
Yeah. He just steamrolls right over him. But yes, mm-hmm. Ryan, if I flake, I flake. That is a very good summation of Ryan's character.
And
he tells during that presentation, he tells Dwight he's in the bathroom. And then Jim gets the text. It's Ryan. I'm sorry. I lied. I'm not in the bathroom. I can't do it. I need to see my mom. I'm going home.
Yeah.
And he's just gone. But then we get to see the script that he wrote, which Jim delivers.
And the costume where he holds up a tiny shoe.
Yeah.
It's perfect that maybe the best insight we get into Ryan's character is a speech that he wrote that he's not there to give, that Jim has to say. And he talks about going to Disney World as a kid. I cried the whole time. I've seen drug addiction, unemployment. I've been in a relationship that tore my heart apart without ever being except the love that drove the pain.
Oh,
all these
God.
Bloggers.
Yeah. They all really
they love
feel
it.
Oh my God.
You can play anything from Chuck to Cars 2. Yeah, it's a great
wireless is coming.
Yeah, available in 2013.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, you guys, we've covered a lot of the big chunk of Ryan's storyline here. I mean, after we get into season 9, it opens with him and Kelly leaving the show. You know, we've talked about the finale before, again, with Ryan and Kelly and him bringing his baby in and leaving it behind, Drake, the baby. But is there any final thoughts about Ryan Howard?
I've got a couple. I think,
okay, yeah.
You know, the only thing from season 8 that we didn't really touch on was him trying to cozy up to Robert California.
Yeah.
Like in
yeah,
pool that, party when he and Gabe are both.
Oh,
you know,
good
they,
one.
They
that is the last gasp of
yeah.
Ryan's like
ambition.
Oh
yeah,
this is who I should be as Robert California.
Hey, he's asleep. We can go. And Gabe says, "So go."
Oh my god!
They're dancing. It's not a party, boys. If we don't do something that scares you.
Yeah. I was going to play that drop, but I think we hit.
And
it.
Then we also get his last Hail Mary attempt for Kelly when Kelly starts dating Robbie, and we get that great line from Nate. where he says, you know, I've never met this guy, Ravi, but only knowing you for a short while, Brian, I would definitely go with Ravi.
Right. And again, I don't even know the guy.
And Pam, you know, you're toxic. Yeah. That's it. That moment where they go up on the horse. And then when
Ryan turn around.
And then lastly, when Ryan pitches Robert California, raw fish, the disgusting food from Japan. Origami is the sushi of paper.
That's right.
Yeah. And then the last one for Ryan is there's a quick throwaway line that I think about all the time, which is I think it's in it's one of the first episodes of season 7 where Dwight goes to the mall for the Steamtown Mall to get the wizard. And he says, cancel all your businesses at the Steamtown Mall. And Ryan says, America's one big mall. Just that random line from Ryan. I think about that a lot. America's
I'll
one
take
big
the
mall.
Wizard.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Earth,
yeah.
You don't have to be crazy to live here, but it helps.
One last one from Ryan. Let's see. This is an exchange between Jim and Pam. You're not the least bit curious to hear a poem straight from Ryan's soul? Not at all. Can we go? Pam, Kapoor and Kadesperate, he watches. Jim, second line. He is a drifter out to sea. And when the Indian Ocean calms, one speck of white remains in waters cold in Kelly Green. Pam, crying, it's just so dumb. But when he describes himself as a child, lost in the life raft. And Ryan, or in Jim, also emotional sister. Yeah. Ryan can never know.
Yeah.
I know. It's shades of his presentation where like it's like he might have accidentally written something beautiful. I was laughing earlier just from reading that part of the pyramid speech where he says, love, values, and of course the pyramids, the strongest shape ever constructed, a shape that fits all other shapes inside of it. No, that's...
Jim critiques it to himself right after he says it. No.
The last thing I want to bring up about Ryan, this was actually an article that someone wrote on Vice about that Ryan Howard is TV's best villain. He says, forget Walter White. The temp from The Office truly showed us the evil modern man, what the evil modern man is capable of. To which I pose to you, do you think if there is any villain in The Office, is it Ryan? Is he the show's villain? Is he an antagonist?
I don't know. It's hard to say that. Yeah, go ahead.
All right, he is quite villainous at times, definitely.
He is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's actually destructive enough to be a real villain, because his destruction is pretty acute. It's episode by episode. I mean, in terms of like Kelly, he's the villain in Kelly's life.
Definitely. Sure. Definitely.
I mean, if you look at The Office, the physical office is this place that's kind of unrealistic, which is to say, like, you know, we talked about this last week in our episode about the parking lot as like the place where dreams come true, where they can do whatever, all the antics that they have and still remain a successful branch. That sort of dynamic is established, right? And within that, all the other characters are kind of going about their business and doing their own lives. And the only thing that kind of flies in the face of that would be apathy or cynicism. Right. And Ryan displays so much of both. So in that regard, you know, he does feel kind of like he's opposing the general dynamic and feeling of The Office, that family vibe that Michael's always trying to put together, especially as this large ensemble. And Ryan is so caustic and apathetic and cynical often that it does sort of, you know, ruin it. And sometimes
if the show is the beauty of ordinary things, Ryan shows us the ugliness of ordinary things.
Yeah, he doesn't care about ordinary things. I don't want anything I have to make myself.
Yeah.
Or as Pam says, well, you have to let me know because it costs about $75 a person. He says, well, yeah, in New York, I had a glass of cognac, it cost $77. Okay.
Yeah, he definitely is. He's definitely against the current as far as the whole other show goes. And you need that to some extent with the show. As much as a show like The Office could have an antagonist, I mean, he does. I think you're right on the money there, Edwin, with like what he represents is antagonistic to what the show is about, for sure.
Mm. It's a funny ingredient. I wouldn't remove it per se.
Yeah, like, no,
it
does, neither would I.
You know, yeah, but it is an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, there you have it, folks. Ryan Howard. That was great. Let's move on to a little conference room, 5 minutes.
Conference room, 5 minutes.
For this conference room, we actually just have a email that sort of had to do with Ryan a little bit, but it's just a fun, quick thing to discuss here. Okay, this is an email we got from Trenton. He says, "Hey guys, love the show. Just listen to the episode about Dwight's speech, and you guys mentioned some episodes we never had that you wished we saw. And I instantly thought of one I want to share." Mm. Michael goes to Ryan when he is in prison. It's like, all I need to hear is that. I was like, yeah. I'm in.
Oh my God.
But Michael shows up to visitation as Prison Mike and does not break character once.
I thought about that myself. I was like, does he go as Prison Mike?
That's amazing. Starts going on and on about the gang of Dementors, and the prison guards overhear the conversation. The warden then interrogates Ryan about this new Dementor gang, and Ryan is unable to talk his way out because Prison Mike, because Michael does not break character once. He talks about how bad and dangerous Ryan is, how we used to have a dwarf henchman, Ryan's friend from the club, and all this other crazy stuff.
Troy, which leads
to Ryan getting some sort of punishment. I just think it would be golden television.
Oh my God.
And you, my friend, will be the Belle of the Ball.
Belle of the Ball.
Talk about a fish out of water episode there. you could just have. I mean, it would be really hard for The Office to pull off, just tonally, to do an episode in prison.
Oh yeah.
But that is absolutely some scenes I would love to see. That's brilliant. I mean, you could do it like Arrested Development did it, and have it just be very funny. But imagine that scene of Michael going into prison with the purple bandana on.
Talking like that with just the accent. Like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That's a great one. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, what else would happen that episode?
In that particular episode? Let's see. End of season 4. You know what? I bet Holly is coaching Michael on maybe Holly drives him there. She's like, it's really good that you see your friend.
Yeah,
and, you know. Yeah. That, like, he confides to her, I'm just worried about my friend. Maybe it's a goodbye Toby episode. Yeah. We probably get to see. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I feel like the episode would be about Michael needs to learn that, like, he needs to knock Ryan down a little bit in his book. Like, Ryan is not the person Michael has always thought he is. Mm-hmm. And that would be the point of the episode, is like, look, Ryan is in prison because he did something bad. And I know he's your friend, but maybe Ryan deserves this a little bit. And Michael wrestling with the fact that he's friends with someone who's in prison.
Yeah, who is this other woman, Ryan, who do you describe as just as hot as Jan, but in a different way? Not a woman, just a cool best friend type.
I feel like you'd have to take Dwight with. I mean, to not have Dwight
for
going
muscle
into the prison would be.
Oh, Dwight would have so many recommendations about what he needs to do, and like, he's probably going in there with shanks hidden all over his body.
But yeah, I would love to see the scene where he goes to the prison and they take all of his weapons when he goes through metal.
Yeah,
because they're like, oh, Dwight's back. You could have something about Toby, like wanting to. I guess this Rent and Strangler stuff.
It's a little later. Timing's a little off. My mind went there too.
But Toby would still be interested in going because he'd want to write. He'd want to learn more about the justice system.
Right.
Because Toby is the Rent and Strangler.
I would also like to see the episode where Ryan goes to Miami, Ohio, to chase after Kelly.
Oh man.
And this isn't garbage. These are my clothes.
Yeah.
That's Ryan at his lowest at that bus stop with the trash bags.
I mean, since we're just on the subject of Ryan, like, more of Ryan in New York, you know, you don't even see, there's that one scene that you get where you hear the guy off screen kick him out of his office, but it would have been nice to see maybe everyone in the corporate office makes fun of Ryan. Maybe Ryan is like the Dwight of the office, like sucking up to David Wallace and having all these ridiculous ideas. I don't know.
Ryan could start a fire at the corporate microwave on one of his first days. And he tries to hide it from the Scranton staff. And like, it's like corporate has everyone, all the HR departments do a fire safety meeting again. Like, why are we doing this? And Ryan's like, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's Ryan sitting in the business ethics meeting.
Yeah.
Right. The elephant in the room. Do I regret what I've done? Yeah.
Yeah. But we don't really hear much about Ryan's prison time. I mean, we assume he does time, right?
I don't know.
Or it's just community service?
It turns out, maybe he just loses his job and
They like take him away. We see
he might go to jail for a second, but not prison. Yeah.
We could assume he calls James P. Albini, get him out of a tight spot. Right. Or just having an episode with Michael going all in on like Ryan's legal defense and getting Ryan out of jail and back to Scranton. See that whole process. But yeah, now that I think about it, it's like Ryan would have to do time for that. I mean, it's a fairly
they arrested big crime. Him. There's the video of them taking him away. They'd have to. They don't just take him home. They got to take him.
Can we also consider what it would have been like to watch the episode where Michael helps Ryan move?
Yes, because we hear that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ryan helps him move
during weight loss.
Did you go to that goatee after you helped me move?
Yeah.
So, like, can you imagine Michael carrying all your stuff in and making jokes about everything the whole time?
Oh my god.
He's like, remember, you know, you're such a little spazzy boy.
Yeah.
Like letting Michael look at all your stuff and how much knowledge Michael would then have about you. Uh-huh. I don't think Ryan would ever
want that.
But
that reminds me, there's a really funny deleted scene in Diwali where Carol is talking to Ryan and she says, "You must be Ryan. I recognized you immediately. Wavy hair and the blue eyes. You live on this street." And Ryan is like, "Oh my god." and Dwight says, "Does Michael ever talk about me?" And Carol says, "Oh yes, he loves you."
It is another love story from the show is Michael and Ryan, no doubt.
That's a good one.
Well, thank you, Trenton, for that.
That's awesome.
Thanks, Trenton.
That's a good one.
Real quick before we go into trivia, if you're listening to this in the future, this is still during the coronavirus times of 2020 or 2020. How are y'all doing? I mean, we're still doing this over Zoom. And I just miss being in the room with you guys so much. It's so crazy how many of these episodes we've done this way.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah.
Starting to feel like the new normal.
I know. Well, my quarantine is compounded by my broken leg now. So not only can I not go out and do stuff, I can also do much less even around my own house. So this has been nice to still have this as a constant. This is one thing I can control in my life is the show.
Definitely.
So I'm just sort of dealing with that, which has been a bit of a bummer. I broke my leg roller skating for those listeners that don't know.
Alex loves to roller skate.
I was with Daryl and Andy, and we put on Ants Marching by Dave Matthews Band, and I got excited. And
said deep cuts only.
I said, said no hits. I couldn't help myself, and I just went crazy. No, that was a bit of a bummer. So
yeah,
I'm just sort of dealing with
sorry,
that.
Buddy.
It's been like, you know, it's like this sort of thing happens, and my partner and I just had moved into a house, and we have all these projects to do, and it's like I can't even do those now.
But at least it's too hot to be doing that stuff. Tomorrow's supposed to be 100 degrees, bud.
I know, crazy, yeah.
Well, we have AC here if you guys want to come hang out.
Oh, good, good. Thank goodness. Yeah. What about you, Edwin?
I've been good, you know, working a lot. I mean, that's been that's been mostly the same, learning to work from home. I've been playing a lot of tennis lately. That's been kind of my thing. Certainly enjoy that. Now that it's really nice outside, but yeah, I mean, I guess that's mostly it. I guess, how about you, Sean?
I went back to work for 2 weeks and now I'm off again. I started on I work in, you know, TV production and stuff like that. So they're testing the waters and it's slow going. So I was supposed to be working next week, but now I'm chilling. It's really funny. And of course, I think some people have heard my cat in the background for some of these episodes. I just want to assure everyone, she has everything. She has all the toys and love and attention and food. And we take her. Our mistake was that we took her outside, and now she only wants to go outside constantly. So that's what she.
Yeah,
likes
dude,
to
you
yowl
get,
about sometimes.
Oh man, we. Our cat here, once you give them a taste, I mean, it's you got to be ready to let them out all the time.
Because it's an apartment building, so it's like, you know, we take her out on a leash. We're crazy cat people now, all of a sudden. Yeah. I've never had a cat in my whole life.
If you're feline worried about Sean's cat, just pause.
Yeah.
It'll be okay.
Oh, my God. I'm fast becoming Angela. Mm-hmm. Angela. Yeah.
But, you know, it's otherwise, all things considered, I mean, I think we're all doing well. And
yeah,
and Portland is beautiful right now. And
that's true.
And if, by the way, if you don't live in Portland and you're seeing reports of what Portland is like, it's not like that. Portland is like, it is such a small area where protests are happening. And I just urge you, if all you're seeing is that Portland is this anarchy state, just look at some other sources and look at some other stuff, because Portland is not that way right now. There's a very active protest going on that are awesome. And
we definitely support those guys protesting down there. 100%. For sure, man.
And like, I've been hearing from other friends and me too, that people are like emailing and calling who they haven't heard from. It's like, you guys doing okay with Portland?
It's like, we're okay.
Casey Holdall, who covers the Portland Trailblazers and was a guest on the Blazers podcast that Alex and I used to host back in the day. Cool. He had a tweet that said, I'm getting all these calls from friends and extended family, and they all think that Portland is the size of a Walmart parking lot.
Which
is like the amount of area where all this is happening.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, I don't know. If that's been your view of Portland, I would say, you know, look at it a little closer, because the things that are happening are really important. And it's not this lawless state of anarchy that some people make it up.
No. We're all doing good here. But
Do you guys have any movie or TV recommendations? Anything you've been watching?
Oh, that's a good call. Mm. Well, we've been watching a lot of Love Island, which is a British dating show. And I'm not recommending it, but I will admit that that's what we've been watching. I'm sure some of our listeners have seen it. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? That's about it.
I got two things. Really quick, two things. One, HBO series Run. Mm-hmm. You guys watch that?
I don't. Although I did hear it was not coming back. I read that in an article or something.
Oh, I don't think it should. But it was done by. Well, it just felt like it's. I think it's eight or nine episodes, and that's it. Half hour episodes. It's Phoebe Waller-Bridge who did. Fleabag. She wrote and produced it, and dude, it's just a lot of fun in terms of just. It's just two characters, and the writing is awesome. It's just, it never slows down. It's a really, really great show. If you have HBO, check it out. And then since I've, with my leg right now, I just picked a random show to watch, which was Hannibal.
A lot of people talking about that.
Yeah.
That's from a few years ago, though, right?
It aired from like 2013 to 2015. It's three seasons.
They just put it all on Netflix or something like that, right? So that's everyone's getting a chance to finally catch up on it.
I love Mads Mikkelsen, who plays Hannibal. He's the bad guy from Casino Royale. A lot of people know him as that.
He's scary looking.
Dude, there's so many. There's just every episode there's a dinner scene at some point, inevitably, and it's Hannibal having dinner with someone, and I just love those scenes. I will just watch Mads Mikkelsen cook and eat human flesh all day long. It's great.
That's so funny, because I was just listening to the last podcast on the left about the Donner Party. what about you, Edwin? What have you been listening?
My favorite show right now is I May Destroy You. It's so good. I know.
That's another HBO show.
It's really good. Michaela Cole is fantastic. The show is so well done. I really liked Palm Springs on Hulu. If you guys watch that?
Oh no, I haven't really watched that yet. I really enjoyed it. Oh, cool.
And. Oh, and the other show I've been really enjoying right now is Kim's Convenience on Netflix. It's a Canadian show, and it's just about a Korean family that owns a convenience store. But like, it's so well done. It's very, very well balanced.
Tight.
I feel like in that episode of Parks and Rec where Tom Haverford is looking at that piece of art, it's just a bunch of shapes. But if you look at it, there's a sense of completion. And he's kind of struck by his reaction to it. And I feel that way watching this show where like nothing really is overwhelming. It's not like the funniest show I've ever seen or the most intense family drama or anything, but it's just so well done and so well balanced. Yeah.
Oh, nice, man. Well, those are some great recommendations. Thanks, guys. And let's move on to some trivia to wrap this up.
With trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Woo! All right. Trivia comes from listener Zach Holden. Who's written in a few times. I feel like we've interacted before. Mm-hmm. I said this at the top of the show, but he's actually an office trivia question writer for the Manhattan Company Trivia AD. And he says he has a few victories under his belt. So good for you.
Nice.
These are ranked from easiest to hardest. Some of them go pretty deep. That's what she said. Here we go.
Nice.
These are easy. My God.
Okay.
But, I mean, they'll progress, right?
They'll progress. The Scranton-Stanford merger is originally disrupted because Josh Porter takes a job at what company?
Staples.
Yes. What temperature does Kevin prefer to set the thermostat to?
69.
Yes. What character once killed a deer with a shovel?
Michael. I've been hunting before. Why do you ask?
Why do you ask?
I forgot about that. I would have guessed Dwight, man.
So messed up.
What does Meredith consider to be the perfect holiday?
St. Patrick's Day?
St. Patrick's Day. No kids. Nothing.
Yeah.
Where are your kids, Meredith?
Yes.
Not today.
Medium.
I can't wait to do a Meredith episode.
That's going to be a good one. That's next.
We've got a run of characters coming up. We still haven't done a lot.
Don't fall in love with me, kid.
D'Angelo. California. All right.
Yeah.
In email surveillance, what is the password to Michael's computer? Sadiq, the IT guy, finds it written on the post-it note on Michael's computer.
It's
1234?
Yeah, it's 1234. What does crime aid stand for?
Crime reduces innocence, makes everyone angry, I declare.
Very good.
Yeah, nice.
I found my bell. What is the name of the column that Andy wrote for Cornell student newspaper?
Bernard's Regards.
Yes.
This was your freshman year?
In the rap scene at the end of Weight Loss, what are Michael and Holly's rap names?
Oh, we did this one.
Yeah, we've done this one. DJ Mike Scott.
MC Mike Scott.
MC Mike Scott and DJ Holly Flax.
Jazzy Flax.
Jazzy Flax.
Jazzy Flax.
No bell for that one. What's the name of Danny Cordray's bar?
Public school. Can I get a Ryan line? Can I get a +5? It's all guys.
Nice.
Bonus point. Where is the bar located?
Off exit 7.
Ooh, exit 11.
Exit 11.
Wow. Close. During the office lip dub, who's holding the camera?
Toby.
Very good. And during the carpet episode, when Michael re-enters the bullpen, he wagers a sales contest with the other salesman. How much money does he offer for the prize?
$37.
No, $83. He sticks the cash up there.
It's like whatever he's got in his wallet. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, hard section. That's what she said. What is the name of Michael's doctor when he gets the colonoscopy?
Dr. Chandran.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there anything I can do to make it more pleasurable for me or for Dr. Chandran?
Oscar just leaves. Yeah.
What is Jim's virtual name in the online game Second Life?
Jim Santanco.
Jim Santanco. Very good.
Oh, wow. I was going to say Philly Jim.
Uh-huh. What song does Dwight play on the recorder during the bird funeral?
Oh, man. This was actually a trivia question.
You are the one I love the most. It's something like that. Or, you are the star.
I don't know what the song is called. Yeah.
Yeah. On the Wings of Love.
What is the name of the song?
On the Wings of Love.
On the Wings of Love. Okay.
Nice. What day of the week do Michael and D'Angelo meet each other at the bar?
Wednesday.
Yes. Don't tell my wife I'm drinking on a Wednesday. I won't. I don't know her.
I don't know her.
What is Holly Flax allergic to?
Sesame seeds.
Very good.
Flax seed.
When Dwight turns the security desk into a cafe, how much does a blueberry muffin cost?
$8.
$8. Very good.
Nice. Wow.
Start your day with a glass of playing. Yeah.
Which two office characters play or have played competitive volleyball?
Pam.
Yes.
And two office characters?
Yeah, there's another office character that we know plays volleyball.
Andy?
No.
Aaron.
No.
Is it Dwight?
It's a guy. It is Toby. We know this. He offers Oscar the socks. Yes, which he had for volleyball practice.
Them for volleyball practice later.
Yep.
That's
a good one. That's a very
great question.
Nice.
All right, we have three more here.
Okay.
Joe Bennett claims she is a close personal friend with which politician?
Nancy Pelosi.
Very good. Classic trivia question here, but always good to refresh. What are the five families of Scranton Business Park?
Disaster Kits Limited.
Mm-hmm.
Dunder Mifflin.
Yes.
W.B. Jones.
Heating and Air.
Heating and Air.
Crest Tool and Die.
Yes.
Advanced Refrigeration.
Very good. What does Ryan claim his salary is at the bowling alley?
$60,000 a year.
Yes. Oh, they pay you by the year.
You get paid by the year. Yeah.
All right. Last bonus question. It's a true or false. True or false. Daryl was hired by Michael, but promoted by Joe.
False.
Yes, hired by Ed Truck.
Ed Truck hired Daryl. Very good.
Joe promoted me. All you ever did was keep me down. Yeah.
You guys got like a 90-some percent there. Very good.
Ah, good job. Good job to mostly Edwin. But to
gang,
me
gang.
Too.
Oh, you missed your Me Too. Yeah. Flips.
Thank you again to Zach Holden for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Zach. Thank you so much. And guys at home, you can send us your own trivia, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Make sure that you say that it's trivia in the subject line. That helps us out. Or you can give us a call and give us your questions, your comments, 503-694-9314. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We're on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We got the website, michaelscottpod.com, and we got patreon.com/Michael Scott. And for $5 a month, you can become a Scott's Tot. You get your mailbag episodes every month and some more content coming your way.
And really, you get to support the show. That's really
cool, definitely.
Right?
That's the most important thing.
If you've noticed, we've never had ads on this show, right?
Right, and we never will.
You are never bothered by ads. Well, don't say never, but
I'm against it.
We've never had ads on this show, and we've been doing this on our own time.
We prefer this model for sure.
We would much rather have people support the show publicly. So, yeah. If you want
or privately,
to
you can just like
private.
Send us money. You know?
Yeah,
totally. Yeah. We got Venmos. Hit us up. But yes, you can support the show and get our monthly mailbag episode. It means a lot to us.
Yeah. So special thanks to all our supporters through Patreon, and special thanks to Ryan, who helps us with our social media and designs our artwork. This episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
Yeah, sure thanks again to everyone for listening. Please remember to rate and review the show. It helps us, helps people find the show. And, you know, take care, be safe, and we'll see you next week.
Pippity Poppy, give me the zombie.
Yes, sir.
They call me Mr. Understood because no one understands me. But when I spit rhymes, everybody buys my CD. You get out of the car so slow. How was I supposed to know? You keep saying stuff behind my back. Then how come I got the number one track?
I'm the OG prima donna. My rhymes bite like piranha. Hotter than a sauna, straight out of Lackawanna.
You're a male prima donna, but I can't help but want ya. I'm an independent diva, but I still kinda need ya. Together we're apart, it's tearing up my heart. I'm in hell and nirvana, cause you're my male prima donna. Male prima donna.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.